Christian Macalaru is the inaugural artistic director and principal conductor of the World Youth Symphony Orchestra. He's also the chief conductor of the WDR Symphony Orchestra, the music director of the Cabrillo Festival of Contemporary Music, and music director designate of the National Symphony Orchestra of France. And he's joining us by Zoom right now from Bonn, Germany. Hi, Christian. Thanks for joining us today.
Pleasure to be here.
So you have been connected with Interlaken for quite a while before you became the artistic director and conductor of YSO. You attended both the academy and the camp. What brought you to Interlaken in the first place?
My relationship and my connection to Interlaken goes all the way back to 1997, when I applied actually to attend Interlaken Arts Camp, or so I thought. And I was surprised actually at the time the brochure with the application was actually in the front. There was the application for the academy, and then on the back there was a much smaller one-page application for the camp. And I, in Romania, where I was born, having received this application from a friend, I decided to fill it out and to send it in, as well as the required video and transcripts and all kinds of information. And I had no idea that I was actually applying for the academy instead of the camp. And I was very, very surprised. In fact, I think my parents were even more surprised when I received the letter of acceptance, also offering me a full scholarship to attend the academy. It took me a little while to understand what was happening, why the start of what I thought was camp was like September 5 or something like that. and I couldn't really wrap my brain around it. But then it quickly became clear that actually I had been accepted to the academy. And my parents then decided that this was an opportunity that might not come twice in my life, and that I needed to really take on this gift that basically I received.
It was sort of a happy accident that you ended up at the academy in addition to the camp.
You know, and I had read about the academy, but it was not even something that I dreamt could be a possibility for me, because it seemed so so far away from my possibilities. And you know, that's why I didn't even consider it. And camp was something that I knew that there had been other Romanian kids that had been at the camp before. And my friends that sent me the application also had offered some financial support. And they said, you know, we will help you if you need help. You know, so when I received the letter back with what turned out to be this unbelievable, life-changing mistake, I should say, quote unquote, it really was overwhelming.
Christian, you came to Interlaken as a violinist, and you were quite a remarkable violinist too, if I do say so myself. You were in the touring Interlaken ensemble. You were the undefeated concertmaster of YSO for 8 weeks. When did you start thinking about conducting?
Well, it was at Interlaken. You know, I remember right when I arrived at Interlaken, quickly I found a group of friends. Basically, we were living next to each other in the dorm, and we started talking about all kinds of things. And that fall, in the curriculum appeared for the first time conducting class. And honestly, you know, my initial response to that was, well, this is probably an easy credit to get, and you know, it doesn't seem so bad. It doesn't seem so bad. I should take advantage of this. So we all decided to sign up for this class. It was three of us that we decided to sign up for this class, thinking that it'll be fun. You know, we will be together, and I would say pretty quickly it became the thing that I loved the most, because it was such an inspiring class. It was with students from all types of instruments, And we all had to play in the ensemble while someone else was conducting, and then we would put down our instrument and then go up there and conduct the same thing. And it was very engaging, and it addressed a lot of the issues that speak to the essence of the music. This was something that really honestly changed my life. I have kept actually all my notes from the conducting class in 97, 98, and 98, 99. And I have a folder that I would say every couple of years I take it out and I go through the whole thing. And it's amazing to see how the ideas that I still build my conducting career on were seeds that were planted all the way back then.
Well, let's talk about one of those in particular, because you not only conducted your colleagues in this class, but you had the opportunity to conduct Interlaken Arts Academy large ensembles, both the band and the orchestra. And we're going to share with our listeners this recording from our archives from May of 1999 of you, teenage Christian Matalaru, conducting the Interlaken Arts Academy Orchestra in Tchaikovsky's March Slav. the Interlaken Arts Academy Orchestra, conducted by Christian Machalaru when he was still a student at the Academy in May of 1999 in the March Slav by Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky. Do you remember this occasion? How did you prepare for this?
I do remember. I started taking private lessons, or not necessarily regular private lessons, but whenever I would have a question or wanted to talk about music, the wonderful Matthew Hazelwood, who was conducting the orchestra at the time, I would go to talk to him. And I remember one of the first things that he did when I went to talk to him, he bought me a recording of Carlos Kleiber's Beethoven number 4 and number 7. And this was a really spectacular disc that, you know, he introduced me to the conducting of Carlos Kleiber. And then also I remember after a little while I was struggling trying to conduct, and I didn't at the time I didn't even know how to buy a baton. I mean, there were batons at the scholar shop, but at the same time they were not what I was looking for. And he had, Mr. Hazelwood had this really beautiful fiberglass baton with a walnut handle, and just really exquisitely beautiful. And I remember one time I wanted to show him something, and he said, well, just use my baton and see if you can show it. So I used my baton. I was trying to show it, and I was just thinking, my God, this feels so good. And he asked me, so do you like that feeling? And I said, I love it. And I said, okay, well, that's yours. I'll give it to you as a present.
Oh,
and
wow.
I still have this baton. In fact, I used it, I would say, for the first 10 years of my career, I used this baton. And then I retired it just because I wanted to keep it as a memory. But this is how generous he was. And in his generosity, knowing that I was so interested in conducting, and I had been pestering him for 2 years with questions about conductors and scores and music in general. And he said, look, why don't you come and conduct the orchestra? And said, I want you to come and conduct a concert. And I said, my God, I this idea was completely mind-blowing to me. And he said, why don't you do, we're scheduled to do March Slav, and do you like this piece? And I said, yes. And he said, well, how about you come and conduct it? And I remember, you know, I was trying to learn everything that I could about the piece and to understand everything. And to my surprise, he asked me, and he said, well, can you, I'm just gonna let you rehearse. I said, I will let you rehearse, and then I think everything will be fine, and then see how you do. And I remember the first time I rehearsed, he was in the hall in Corson Auditorium and watching everything happen. And then after that, he said, you know what, when you rehearse tomorrow, I won't even come into the hall. I want you to be in charge of rehearsing.
And, oh, wow.
And this was, you know, the trust that he placed on my sort of crazy dream was deeply meaningful to me. And one thing that happened right after this, actually, I remember for the final concert of that season, we also performed Beethoven 5, and he had an emergency one morning. I remember this so vividly, because this ended up actually defining my career later on in life. One morning he called in sick, and I remember Mr. Nagy came in just to make sure that the kids would not be rowdy. I went to him at break and I said, you know, if we have the time and we're here, I said, I know this piece. I said, I could conduct it. And he looked at me and I said, really? And I said, yeah, I orchestras are supposed to play. And he said, all right, good, do it. So I remember after a break standing up and conducting Beethoven 5 for the first time in my life. The first time you do Beethoven 5, I think it's definitely something that you will remember forever as a conductor, because it is that kind of piece. It's amazing to me that my second time meeting an orchestra was as a last minute stand-in, which actually is directly how I started my career, because for the first few years in my career, this is how I met all the important orchestras. in the world was more or less for cancellations that I would stand in at the last minute. And in some ways, it's something where people said, well, he's very reliable because he can do the job on short notice.
This is interesting. So a lot of your breaks in your life have come almost as surprises for you, the applying for what you thought was camp and ending up fully funded to attend the academy, or surprise, you're conducting this orchestra today. And it's an interesting lesson for people who think they can prepare for everything.
That's right. I think we musicians prepare not necessarily for a singular event. I think musicians prepare for the purpose of defining and refining their musical instinct, which is what carries them through every situation that they find themselves in.
Well, Christian Macellaru, you graduated from Interlaken Arts Academy in 1999, and you came back as a professional conductor in 2015 for the first time. What was that like for you to come back as a grown-up, back to this youth orchestra that you had been in?
Well, it was an overwhelming feeling, of course. I think anyone that has experienced Interlaken, even for a short period of time, will understand the tremendous impact that this place leaves on everyone. The only time that I felt as emotional about going back to a place was when I started going back home to Romania to visit my family. And but Interlaken really was a home for me for these 2 years that I was there. And coming back in 2015 as an adult, I actually had my own children at this point that I brought along with me. And I remember being so overwhelmed. Somehow I knew everything and everything was new at the same time. And having these experiences all play back in my head with every leaf that I saw and every wave of the water on the lake, it all brought back every single detail and every single memory. And then I remember I was actually so completely shocked by one aspect. I walked into Kresge Auditorium and I must have seen that quote above the stage that talks about Interlaken's mission and talks about its mission to find a more peaceful, if I'm paraphrasing, but to find a more peaceful world through the conversation, through the arts. And I remember reading this statement and I had forgotten, but at this point I had really defined my own interest in the arts and my own interest in music and conducting to be a direct representative of this deep desire to find, to define a more peaceful world through the power of the arts. And this was such a crazy realization for me when I walked in Kresge for the first time after all those years, to look and that to realize that actually what I had been living for the past 15 years was this one aspect of Interlaken.
And we're going to listen to some music that you recorded that first summer back. This is from August 2nd, 2015, of you conducting Wieso in a suite from Prokofiev's Romeo and Juliet. And if I'm remembering correctly, you created this suite yourself. This was your configuration of movements.
I did. You know, I always struggled with the different suites from Romeo and Juliet by Prokofiev, because it seemed to me like whichever suite I would be conducting, there was at least one other movement that I wish I could have done from the other suite. And I was never satisfied with that, not just because of the musical journey, but also because I felt that there were important points in the storytelling that I wanted to achieve. So then over the years, I ended up creating my own version of the Romeo and Juliet suite that it followed the storyline slightly better than either of the suites, even though the suites were not intended to tell the storyline.
Here's the World Youth Symphony Orchestra in August of 2005, conducted by Christian Macellaru. We heard an excerpt from Prokofiev's Romeo and Juliet, the World Youth Symphony Orchestra, in August of 2015, conducted by our guest today, Christian Matularu. Well, let's talk about a more recent project of yours, one that won you a Grammy. Do you have the Grammy with you?
Don't, it's in the mail, actually. I'm waiting every day. I was notified about 5 days ago that it has been put in the mail. Of course, you know, with the current state of the world, there were slight delays in the delivery. I am told that it's arriving, so I remain optimistic.
And we'll say it's your first Grammy, because there are probably more to come in your future, we hope. This is for a recording you made with the Philadelphia Orchestra and violinist Nicola Benedetti of the world premiere of the Violin Concerto by Wynton Marsalis.
This project was something that was brought to me again by a very crazy set of coincidences that I basically had no control over. In fact, I feel, as a parenthesis, I feel like my entire life is a set of circumstances that happened while I was making plans for other things. I was scheduled to conduct the Chautauqua Symphony in Chautauqua Institution as my first time conducting this orchestra. And they had a long relationship with Wynton Marsalis, and they had presented him and many times. So they approached me, and actually my own manager, who was involved in the creation of this project, approached me and they said, you know, Wynton is writing his first violin concerto for Nicola Benedetti, who I had worked with in the past and I knew her. And they would like to have a performance, a pre-premiere performance, as it's called, before it's scheduled to be premiered in London. And the only place where we can see this being able to work, because it's a place that fosters creativity and it fosters the idea of the creative process, we see this working in Chautauqua. Would you be okay with the idea of Wynton coming to Chautauqua and Nicola performing the concerto and you working on this piece, and then you know, just help him finalize his thoughts before the London premiere?
They asked if you would be okay with that.
That's right.
Oh, I guess so.
I said, you know, I had never collaborated with Wynton. I actually had never met him at this point. And I said, of course, I'm more than happy to do this. I have incredible respect for Wynton, as I do for Nikki. I remember arriving in Chautauqua and working. We had 2 days to put this piece together, and it's a pretty massive piece. It's close to 40 minutes in length, you know. And Wynton is an absolute genius, but he's also one of the most pragmatic, practical people that I've met, because he is a performer. He understands, okay, we need to get from point A to point B, and it needs to be a good journey. After the performance was finished, we had a talkback session with the audience. And then he was supposed to drive to New York City that night. And after the performance finished, he came to me and he said, listen, if you have any ideas, I would be really grateful if you can send me anything that you think about the piece that I could do better. And I said, well, yeah, I have some thoughts. If, you know, we can talk about them. And we can see. And he said, okay, let's just look really quickly. I'll have a cup of tea and then I'll get on the road. So his driver, you know, kept coming in like every half an hour. We were in this room, you know, talking through the piece. And every half an hour, the driver would come and say, Wynton, are you ready? And I said, no, just one more minute. And at 7 a.m. he left. We spent basically the entire night talking through absolutely every single note of the concerto.
Well, we're going to listen to one movement from the Wynton Marsalis Violin Concerto from this Grammy Award-winning recording you made with Philadelphia and Nicola Benedetti. We're going to go with the second movement, the Rondo Burlesque. What do we need to know about this movement going in as listeners?
Well, in all of Wynton's music, he relies very deeply on his roots. He relies very deeply on his past. And there's always a narrative that is very clear and very distinct. Now, for Wynton, having had a life that has been so diverse and so full of human experiences, of course, any music that he writes will be that complex as well. And this rondo, burlesque, I love because it's a representation of his virtuosity as a composer, as well as the virtuosity of the crazy world in his imagination. So it, as any good rondo would do, it has this form that keeps repeating, and it keeps coming back in a different way, you know, with refrains that repeat and with variations that are unique to a different style. So he takes us on this journey of basically a circus band in New Orleans, if you can imagine it this way. And there are, you know, whistles and there's circus music and you hear oompa music that is very reminiscent of a circus band. And it's basically incredibly silly. But at the same time, the underlying musical language is so incredibly complex and complicated and difficult that it requires quite a bit of virtuosity from the performers.
Thank you.
From the Grammy Award-winning world premiere recording of the Violin Concerto of Wynton Marsalis, violinist Nicola Benedetti, and our guest, Christian Macellaru, conducting the Philadelphia Orchestra. The second movement of that concerto, the Rondo Burlesque. Well, your Grammy being delayed in the mail, Krishna Machalaru, is not the only thing that has changed as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. The 93rd camp season at Interlaken is going online this year in what's being called Interlaken Online. So that's presented you with an interesting project here as the artistic director and principal conductor of WISO.
Well, when we were faced with the reality that we had to move online with the camp, my main focus and my main goal was trying to find what is the essence of Interlaken that changed my life. And I feel very lucky and fortunate to have this extra set of perspectives, having been a student there. When I think of my time at Interlaken, there are so many things that I feel that I learned and I incorporated in what defined my career as a musician. But perhaps the clearest message of all was the inspiration that Interlaken provided me with in being able to believe in myself and the fact that I could achieve something that is far greater than I should have dreamt in. And I think in trying to address the need of being online, I want to make every effort possible to make sure that that inspiration and that essence that Interlaken has brought to so many lives, that this is something that is not lost. This belief in their own possibility is what I call this courage of remaining optimistic, not because you are ignorant of the troubles in the world, but in spite of knowing the troubles in the world, you choose optimism in order to overcome what it is that is holding us back right now.
And I can't help but notice that one of the projects that you've chosen for the students this summer, they will have the opportunity to rehearse with a recording made by one of your orchestras, the WDR Symphony Orchestra. I noticed that you chose Beethoven's Fifth Symphony as that piece, and that's one of the pieces that was part of your formative experience at Interlaken.
Absolutely, and I think it's not a coincidence, and this was something that, you know, I think that first time that a young person meets Beethoven, this first meeting, you know, my responsibility as an artist to take Beethoven's hand, so to speak, and then put it in the hand of a young person meeting him for the first time. This, I think any person, the first time they perform or they have the experience of playing Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, it's something that they will remember forever. It is that powerful. It is that strong. And also in celebrating, you know, his 250th birthday this year, this was something that I wanted to address as well. And I felt that this would be the best way for us to create this online virtual side-by-side where the musicians in my orchestra will record a version that actually leaves room for all the other instruments in the orchestra to be provided by the students. So we are not providing all the instruments. We're providing a limited number of instruments that will force the students at camp to provide their own voice. And it is dependent on their individual voice for the performance to happen.
Yeah, it can't happen without the students providing their part. It's not just a karaoke track.
That's right.
Krishna Machalaru, thank you so much for joining us today and for talking with us about your time at Interlaken, past, present, and future.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.